Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Y'all ever play word games? I love word games. I used to play Scrabble with my grandmother. She's been gone for around 25 years, but I used to play Scrabble with my grandmother, and she would make up words, and she would put them down, and if you contested the word, she would always tell you that it was a Polynesian flower. Whatever it was a Polynesian flower. But I think I might have gotten my love of word games from her, because I just love word games. And I was so, you know, I recently, back in, I think in January, got an iPhone. I'd always had Androids. And Rick came home one day, just handed me this iPhone. And, you know, I really like it, but I couldn't get my favorite word game on this phone. And, you know, it's several months later, and I'm still missing Boggle. Oh, I miss, because they had it to where you could download it, and you didn't even have to like type in the words. You literally just had to swipe them. So you could get way more words than you could if you were actually like playing it, because you just, you know. I love word games. And I am quite convinced that God, I don't know that he likes word games, but God likes words. And he likes them so much that he used them to create the entire universe and everything in it. Except us. He didn't use words to create us. He actually formed us. But for the most part, he used words. And he used them well, obviously, because he did a really, really, really good job. And I love words. It's interesting to me. I think it's fun at CMA when we give word building tests, and we're giving those tests that have all the words that sound exactly alike, but they're all spelled differently, or, you know, words that are spelled alike, but they have different kinds of meanings and all that. I love the kids figuring that out. I don't know why, but I just think that's really cool that our brains are so intricate that we can hear something that sounds exactly the same and know that there's different meanings there and that sort of thing. I love words, and God loves words. And I want to talk to you today about words. Now, we just did an entire series in Sunday school a few months ago about our words. And James tells us, you know, gives us a lot of really good info about our words. But tonight I want to talk to you about God's word. And so I'm going to use God's word to talk to you about God's word, because I think it's a really, really big deal. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Have you ever thought about the fact that the words that are in this book, it says they were breathed out by God? The same God that breathed out the stars, breathed out these words for us to hear. And these words are eternal. They're not words that will ever, I don't care what you do, you can take this book right here and you can burn it. You can gather all of them up that you can. But what I'm telling you is this is an eternal word that cannot be destroyed. It can't. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, tells us that the Lord formed the man of the dust from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In Hebrews 4:12, the first part says, "For the word of God is living and active." In John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." So there's a great connection in the Word of God between His Word, His breath, and life. I love that. God's Word and His breath and life all wrapped up. You almost can't separate those things, and I think that's really cool. God's Word is alive. It is living and active, as Hebrews tells us, and God's Word is power. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I should have titled that The Word Power, because we're going to talk tonight about the power of the Word of God in us. We as Christians have this tendency to really underestimate the Word of God. We underestimate it so much that we don't read it. You know, it has every answer we ever will need. But we don't read it. Now, I'm not saying we don't ever go to it. But we don't eat this up like it's life to us. I don't take this in like it's life to me. And my guess is that all of us fall a little bit short in that area. We underestimate the Word. Why do we underestimate it? Because it hasn't been living and active for us. I mean, a lot of us, I think, could look at our lives and go, you know, it was living and active that one time when I got saved, but it really hasn't done much for me since. So I don't know. I mean, I know that's what it says, and I say I believe it, and I think I do, but the truth is I don't really know it. And I hear it and I think, I wish it would work that way for me, but I just don't know it well enough to know if it will or it won't or it should or it could. I don't know. Our vision this year is to get stronger and stronger. And I want you to consider this, that your spiritual life can and will only get stronger to the degree that your understanding of the Word of God get stronger and stronger. Okay, we can pray a lot more. And we can think, oh, you know, I'm going to make my spiritual walk is going to get stronger and stronger because this year I'm going to commit to praying more. And that's a wonderful and good and noble and worthy goal to set for yourself. As long as you don't do that to the omission of the Word of God. Because I know a lot of people who pray and pray and pray and pray, but they can't tell you the first thing about what the Word of God actually says. And if you pray and pray and pray and don't know what the Word of God says, it's really hard for you to pray the right way. I mean, you've got to understand elements of obedience, elements of faith, elements of forgiveness. We at the women's conference, we had Deanne talk to us a little bit about forgiveness. And can I just say to you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, stop everything. I don't care what you're doing. The next time you start to pray, stop everything. I'm going to get bold. God doesn't want to hear it. And He tells you so. Where does He tell you that? In His Word. But if you are unwilling to pick up that Word and read it, you'll never know. And you'll have the best of intentions and you'll spend a whole lot of time in prayer, but it will do nothing. Because you have got to understand prayer. It's the same thing with any principle that you'll find talked about in the Word of God. You know, if I want my finances to get better, I can do all kinds of things, but until I know what the Word says about it, it's never going to get better. So my ability to get stronger and stronger in my faith walk really, really, really is tied to the degree to which I'm willing to get stronger and stronger in my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And so I want us to really think about that tonight. The Bible says that God's no respecter of persons. Well, what does that mean? When I was a younger person, I would hear that said from the pulpit frequently. I didn't have any idea what that means. Now, y'all are probably way smarter than I was, But I didn't know what that means. I'm going to tell you what it means. It says that in Galatians 3:28, it says, you are all one in Christ Jesus. In Deuteronomy 10:17, it says, he is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. In Romans 2:11, in the Amplified, it says it this way, for God shows no partiality, no arbitrary favoritism. That's the part I like. With him, one person is not more important than the other. There's the key phrase. If you have never known what it meant when you heard God's no respecter of persons, what it means is he doesn't consider any one of us more important than the other. And what he will do for one, he will do for another. So if he healed your friend, he will heal you. If he gave your friend a revelation when they got into the Word of God, he will give you a revelation when you get into the Word of God. But you cannot know what God is doing, what God has done, what God will do, or what his will for you is without knowing his Word. You just can't. Why? His Word is his will for you. You know, people say all the time, and I've had this question asked of me many times, I just don't know what God's will is here. Well, most times I find that we've not really gone to the Word. Now, does the Word tell you exactly everything regarding every little detail of your particular situation? No, but it offers us principles on which we can make difficult decisions. And if you don't understand or know those principles, then you're kind of going to be that Christian going, I just don't know what God wants me to do here. God's Word produces life, and it's a living, powerful force. And when it is coupled with our faith, the Word of God has the ability or power to do what it says. Now, notice I said when it's coupled with our faith, because everybody, I'd venture to say 90% of the country has one of these sitting on a coffee table. And it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. It's when it is coupled with our faith that it begins to work and to do what it was intended to do. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The Amplified says it like this, and I really like this. By faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? Can I tell you that your own life, your own little world, can be framed by the Word of God, and every word in that passage can be applied to your life? That by faith, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, you understand that your own world can be framed and created, put in order, and equipped for its intended purpose by the Word of God? And I think that's what I want. I think that's probably what most of us would say. We absolutely want to have that Word of God framing our life. I would love it if you could just envision a frame around you, and everywhere you went, that was, people saw this biblical frame around you, and they recognize that everything that you was going to come out of your mouth was going to agree with what the Word said, and every decision that you made was going to comply with the things that the Word, the commands of the Word, and that sort of thing. I would love it. There are promises and there are principles in the Bible that are for both of us, you, me, for all of us. 2 Peter says, great and precious promises. One of the versions says, magnificent promises. But it's just like a $10 bill that's stuck in an old coat that you haven't worn in a long time. If you don't know it's there, you just might starve, all the while having that $10 bill in your pocket. And people do it all the time, every day. But here's a scripture that I love. Jeremiah 1:12 says that God watches over his word to perform it. He watches. You know what? That excites me. Do you know why? He's watching over his word to perform it. What does that mean for me? It means he's up there and he's watching me and he's waiting for me to activate that word in my own life. He's waiting for me to apply my faith to that word. And the minute he sees that happen, he's like, that's the perfect combination right there. I'm ready to do something. He is watching constantly for those who are in the faith, those who know the word and can put those two things together. He's watching for it all the time. And he wants to do what he said he would do. There's just so many times I just want to do for my kids. There's things I want so desperately to do for them. But there are sometimes things that it's best for them that I not do until they get an understanding, until they get some faith, until they walk in some obedience, maybe until they walk in some forgiveness. And it's the same thing with us and God. God's word is power. But we've got to know how to activate that in our lives. Psalm 138:2 says, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. And listen to this, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. Your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. In another version, it says it this way. It says that God has elevated his word above his name. Now think about that. We've talked about this in Sunday school just a little bit. God has elevated his word above his name. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that if Ray tells me that he's going to do something and Ray doesn't do it, what do I think of Ray? Probably not a whole lot. Why? Because his word wasn't good. Right? But if Ray tells me he's going to do something and he does it, then I know what kind of a man Ray is because his word is good. God elevates his word above his name because his word has never failed. His word has never been proven incorrect. His word always works. And so he knows that if people get an understanding of the word that he speaks, they'll have an understanding of him. It's the same with us. God elevates his word above his name. Sorry. Whoops, I just knocked off that little thingy. We're going to call it okay. All right, I want to read you Psalm 18:30. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. This is a different version. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to those who trust in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Can you get an understanding that the words of our great God are really, really a big deal? And if they are not a big deal in your life, they should be. They should be, because they are life. And there's too many Christians walking around living lives that are defeated. And that is not God's best. That is not what God desires for us. Psalm 119, starting with 97, actually. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. Think about that. I have more insight than my teachers. Well, that'd be a cool place to be, wouldn't it? CMA students, wouldn't you like to have more insight than your teachers? And well, that just told you how to do that. We can have more insight than our teachers when we are when our eyes are fixed on the Word of God. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Let me tell you something. It does not say in verse 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey when they come out of the pastor's mouth. They're to be in our mouth. Those words are to be in our mouth. But I love the verse, and I sang, there's a song from the 80s or 90s that Amy Grant did. Thy word, everybody know that one? Everybody 45 and older know that one? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love that song. I got to thinking about that particular scripture. I love that song because it's scripture. And if you want a way to get the word in you and you just don't really know how, find those songs that are scripture, because that's the way to do it. But I got to thinking about that scripture. Thy word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And I got to thinking about that. You think about, you know, I don't know, let's just say you're in a park-like setting and you've got a lamp, and you're just carrying that lamp, and everywhere you go, that lamp is shining on your feet and showing you the direction that you're going. And then every 30, 40, 50 feet, there's a lamppost, or maybe it's one of those that hangs over, and there's a light there. And that shines on the path that we're on. And I got to thinking about that because I was thinking, you know, that your word is a lamp to guide my feet. And I thought, you know, that could be applied to my everyday life where I'm getting in the Word and that lamp is guiding my feet. And I walk and I use that lamp to guide my feet. And about every Sunday or every Wednesday, there's a big light that shines over and kind of shows me that path and keeps me going the direction that I ought to go. But most of us are just using the Word as the light and not as that everyday lamp to shine on our feet so that we know where we're going. So how important is God's word to you? That's the question. How much do you want the word power in your life? God's word does a lot of things. It leads us to salvation. It guides our steps, like we just said. It directs us to wisdom. It does a lot of things. It lifts burdens. It brings joy, and it gives us peace. It does a lot of things, and God honors and is committed to those who respect and love His Word. It's the most valuable thing that we have as Christians, other than just having Jesus right here. And we have the Holy Spirit, which is one, but we've got to have the Word. Because, you know, a lot of people think they hear from the Holy Spirit, but until you can compare what you've heard to the Word, you don't even know for sure that you've heard from the Holy Spirit. So we've got to understand the importance and value of the Word of God. It says in Isaiah 48:40, verse 8, that the Word of God will stand forever, that everything else passes away, but the Word of God stands forever. I want to give you tonight 5 benefits to knowing and understanding God's Word. Now hear me, these aren't the only five benefits, so don't come up and go, well, what about this? I know there are more. I'm not going to say there are, I'm not that good. But I want to give you five benefits to knowing and understanding God's word. The first one is that it tells the story of God and his people. And I think that's a really important thing for us as Christians to know. It's crucial that we know where we come from and why God wants our hearts. The Apostle Paul spent the entire New Testament almost explaining how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, telling us. And that's how we knew when he came. That's how we knew who he was, that he was the Messiah, because he met every single prophecy that was given in the Old Testament. And if the believers of Paul's time had not spent time learning about their history, they'd have had no way of knowing who the Messiah was. It's important that we understand our story, and it's important that we know that we're still in the story. We're still part of the New Testament right now. It's still being written because we're in it. It's not a story that ever ends. It never ends. The kingdom of God will never end. So we get to participate in this story, so it's important that we know it. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy that the scriptures make us wise for salvation. So when we read about salvation, we got an understanding of salvation. Had we never read about that, we would have never known that we needed to be saved. We've got to know our story. The second thing that knowing and understanding the word of God does is it demonstrates the heart of God. God is merciful and kind, and he loves us deeply, and it says that nothing can ever separate us from that love. We wouldn't know that. And there are a lot of people who believe that God is a harsh and critical God. And they believe that because they don't know what his word really says. They don't have a full understanding of what he did for us and about how he's always pursuing us. So when we read the word of God and get an understanding of it, we begin to see the mercy of God. We begin to see the kindness and the love of God that we can't see apart from his word. The third thing that it does is it teaches us who we are in Christ and how to live by the Spirit. You know, Jesus talked about abiding in him. How do we do that? How do we know who we are in him? How do we live by the Spirit? We can't know without the Word of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and empower our lives, then we have selfish desires that can flee, but we can't know how to do that without knowing the Word of God. So we've got to be able to allow the Word to teach us who we are in Christ. Who are you? Are you a plumber or are you a child of God? Are you an accountant or are you a child of a living God? We're not what we do, we're who the Word says we are. And so it's a really big deal to get that figured out. The fourth thing it does is it unifies us as believers, and it's in our best interest to be unified. We know what unity does in the church. The Bible gives us a collective written standard to live by. Now, do we sometimes disagree on some interpretation of that? Yeah, but you know, there's so much that we can find in there to agree on. There's a lot that we can find in there to agree on. And as the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about this, I'm talking the global body of Christ, we've got to be unified. And the word says that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. It's not a glorious church if there's no unity. And there can be no unity without the scripture. And so it's a big deal. And the last thing I want to tell us is this. The Bible is our sword. The fifth thing, the Bible is our sword. Now, we all know about the putting on the armor of God. There's a belt, there's a breastplate, there are shoes, there's a shield, and there's a helmet. And those are all things that we put on. And they're great because they protect us when something's coming at us. But that sword gives me the ability to be the aggressor. And when I want to be the aggressor, do I want to use it against Jeannie to tell her everything she's doing wrong? No, but I want to use it to gently rebuke someone in our body if there's a sin issue. But I'll tell you who I do want to use it against, and that is Satan himself. And that is the one and only offensive weapon that's listed in all of that. And I can take that thing, and you know what? He's got nothing on me as long as I've got that sword in my hand. But if I don't know it, if I do not know the word of God, I don't have a sword in my hand. I've got to have a knowledge and understanding of the word of God, because if I don't, when it is needed, I will not have the weapon that will allow me to take the battle to him instead of having him come at me. And it's a, when I was younger, I used to kind of walk in fear. It was just something that kind of seemed to come naturally to me. I walked in a lot of fear. I didn't like the dark. I wouldn't go out. My parents would send me out to the car. I would not go out to the car in the dark. I just wouldn't. There was just a lot of stuff. I had a cousin of mine tell me some things that at 13 years of age, he knew all about, the tribulation. And so he shared all of it with me. Well, he just scared me like crazy. And I remember just living in a lot of fear regarding things that he told me was going to happen. Well, you know what? It's been nearly 40 years since then, and he hasn't been correct so far. And the more I've read, I just don't think he knew what he was talking about. But it caused me to walk in a lot of fear. And I kind of was one of those people that I'd put on stuff, but I didn't understand the power of that word to strengthen me and let me take the battle to the enemy instead of standing there waiting until they brought it to me. And now I'm to the point now where if I get in the middle of something, I have said so many times driving in the car, because you can say anything you want to driving in the car. And many times I've been driving in the car and I'm just like, okay, hold on. Okay, let's be very clear, Satan. I am not afraid of you. I am not afraid of you. Matter of fact, you bring it, because you are already defeated, because I have everything I need. And the main thing that I need is that word. But it's got to be hidden in my heart. It's got to be something that I can draw on in the time of trouble. We've all been in those situations where something terrible happens. I don't have time to run and find my Bible. I got to know it. It's got to be planted and rooted in me. And so it's a really important thing that we understand the importance of the Word of God. I love how it says in Ephesians 6, and this is not even where it gets to the part about the armor, but it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw your strength from him, and be empowered through your union with him, and in the power of his boundless might, put on the full armor of God for his precepts. Now, what are precepts? Well, those are principles. Those are commandments. Those are words. For his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Every single thing we need is right here. Every single thing. And my encouragement to you today is that if you want to do what that says, because we all walk in every day that we come to this church and we see those words stronger and stronger. Well, the thing that we have to remember about that vision is God's got a part to play in that, and so do we. And if we are unwilling to do our part, He really can't do His. If we're not willing to do what we need to do, to know His word, so that we can strengthen our inner man, then those are simply words that we'll read until the end of December, and then we'll put some new words up in January, and we'll have to decide then whether or not those words are going to be something that really change us. But I want to encourage you, strengthen yourself in the Lord by reading His word. Some of you, and I've caught a lot of teasing over something I taught at the women's conference. Start with a 5-minute Devo, girls. It's okay. It really is. But don't be satisfied with that. Don't be satisfied with 5 minutes. If you keep reading it, you can't be. That's right.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.